How do you tap into anger and then not stay angry for the day or the week and ruin your life?
I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet.
Because I've seen you today.
Yeah.
Go in anger that quick and then out of anger that quick.
Yeah.
You control it rather than it
controls
you.
Yeah, massively. I do have control. I'm very good at using anger as an energy resource.
Is that how you see it? As an anger as an energy
resource?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it can switch you on. It's not, I think because you go into it consciously knowing what the purpose of it is, you can control it. It's not, it's almost like a false energy, but it really does work. You know, that mindset, you get yourself into it's like a short term release because you can only just grasp it and then you use it. And once it's gone, it's gone. And then you think happy thoughts and you're in a good place again.
Yeah, because a lot of people think anger is bad, but because you got me in a state of anger a couple of times.
Saw it.
Yeah, you did. And, and then afterwards I stood up and I went dizzy and then I was fine.
Yeah.
So.
Because you released it.
Yeah. So therefore anger isn't bad.
I don't think any emotion is bad as long as you can control it. I know it sounds really deep and
strange. No, I don't think it's strange, deep. I think it's smart, yeah.
I think especially learning over the last few years how to bring emotion to the forefront through acting has really allowed me to put that into everyday use. Especially training, it really has helped because you can switch yourself on in a different way and get yourself into what many people understand called the zone and use memories or feelings or... You can use success. I, for some reason, I just prefer to use failure and anger to get into a zone. I just enjoy it more.
So you're actually evoking through free will your deepest pains to get stronger.
Not necessarily to get stronger, but to perform.
Okay.
Because not every...
So to deliver the maximum outcome.
Output. Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Is that not dangerous?
Oh, it could be. I'm not advising this. I'm saying it's what I do.
Yeah.
But
disclaimer.
Was it enjoyable?
It's enjoyable.
What was it for you?
Actually, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you told me not to say where I went, but I went to somewhere when I was 11, feeling my deepest pain and hatred. And actually, it really was enjoyable to go there because I was so in that emotion. I didn't even see your face and you were there on me and you got a pretty imposing face.
Yeah.
I didn't even see it.
Yeah, exactly.
But then afterwards I thought, I think I probably lifted or pushed more than I might have done before.
100%. And the thing is as well, what I like to do is, you asked me earlier, how do you get out of it? I think the way that you subconsciously get out is that you're a stronger person now than you were when you were 11. So you've progressed through life. So you can go back, feel that emotion, use that anger, but then go, look where I am now.
So most people, what happens in their life is something happens and it triggers the emotion from when they're 11 and they bring that baggage forward. You're almost reversing the process.
Yeah, I'm strong enough now to feel that emotion, to deal with it, to use it and to move on and to congratulate myself in a subconscious way.
Can anything though trigger you?
No.
Nothing?
Oh, things can trigger me, but not anything can trigger me to that point. Like I have to be very specific to get into that zone. There's two or three things that I can think of at the top of my head that would get me in that fight or flight zone.
What are they?
Oh, that's a personal one.
I've got to do my job though, haven't I?
I've driven
here for 2 hours.
To me,
Is it dark?
It's not so much dark. It's just something that really affected me at the time.
And so it's actually something that happened. It's not imagined.
Yeah, no, it's genuinely real. Right. It's got to be a real emotion because you can't pull true emotion from a false memory.
Right.
It has to be something that's really triggered you in the past. It doesn't have to be like, there's no rule to what it needs to be. It just needs to have affected you. Like I think we may have touched on this on an interview in the past, but I definitely suffered with depression massively. And a few things have happened through my life that have kicked me back.
And what sort of things kick you back in?
Oh, Jesus. When I was very young, having the eating disorder and losing my career and losing a loved one, and that was something that really hit me and had depression for a good 6 months. And that was one memory. I mean, that's probably not the memory I'd go to straight away now because I've dealt with that massively and it was so long ago. it doesn't really give me the same spike. Now I could go, it could be something silly, like, especially social media, the amount of, you know, the amount of shit you get on social media. Just remembering a few of the occasions where people would say stuff about you or put you down or be negative towards your family or your decisions or the way you look or the way you, and for me, it's more, I bring it back and then thing. Watch that, watch this, now catch up. I suppose it's quite egotistical as well in a way, because you're showing off what you can do now versus what they can do using that one.
Yeah.
But it's like I said, when you go into a session, for me, it's about owning the session, owning the space, owning the gym and being accountable and know that you're going in there to be the best of the best. So ego's not a problem for me. As long as you're not there being arrogant and showing off and so it's not that type of, it's more confidence. Be confident in your session. Be confident in what you're doing. Attack the session. And that's what I love about training the most, is being able to go in, feel good, feel aggressive, feel strong, feel... I think it's quite a masculine trait. I really do. I don't think everyone would understand it. I don't think every... I'm not saying like women can't understand it. I'm the same way I'm not saying that every single man would understand it, but there's certain individuals that would feel that old-fashioned masculinity where it's one-on-one fight, let's go. And that's definitely me. See, my son as well, I can see it in him. He's just boisterous. Boisterous is the word. He just wants to... He's just like a mini version of me, which I find great. And I really love, I love that in him, because I think with the right guidance, the right help, he could be very, very much do what I didn't manage to do.
Mm. So I know you said it's hard to trigger you, but if you're in the gym and someone's on their phone for 15 minutes not doing any sets, can that trigger you?
Yeah, 100%. it triggers me in two ways.
Because we talked about it earlier and I could see you getting angry.
Yeah, it triggers me in two ways. One, it triggers me because I want to use the equipment. And two, it triggers me because I'm thinking you have been so unproductive. And that frustrates. I can't stand being around people that aren't trying to be the best version of them. And I know it sounds really lame and it shouldn't affect me, but I just look at people, why are you wasting time? Why are you in here wasting time? Because if I'm seeing you not giving everything to me, it rubs off negatively. And I shouldn't get distracted by it, but I do get distracted by it because it just winds me up. There's quite a few things that trigger me like that, that can turn me into a bit of a drama queen.
What else?
Food is one of them. I know that sounds bad, but like when people moan about how they look or how they feel, and then the next breath they're eating a burger or some chips or something. What are you eating that for then? And you sit there and waste 5 minutes of my life telling me how you feel bad about yourself and then go and shove that down your throat. What's the logic in that? Mm. That drives me insane, because then they'll have a go at me for telling them. Look, I don't care however you look or what you feel like. That's your problem, and in a good or a bad way. It doesn't impact me. But when you moan, feel like this or look like this, and then I call you up on it, and then you tell me off for calling you up on it, like, don't bring it into my energy system then.
Mm.
That triggers me.
And do you think people have become a little bit more weak and entitled in the last few years?
Yes, because we've allowed it.
What have we allowed?
Well, we haven't allowed freedom of speech properly. In all honesty, I'm not going to go down that route because it's a proper rabbit hole. But if you think about it, everyone has to be accepted and everyone has to be welcomed and everyone has to be this and that, which is lovely, but it's not realistic. And people are going to be in such shock when they go into the real world of, oh, I can't win every game. No, you can't. You have to put the hard work in. You have to do the distance. You have to do the hard work. And I'm sorry, but you're not going to get rewarded for failing. Oh, but they said I could. Yeah, well, welcome to the real world.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. Like, you can't come first if you don't put the work in. Yeah, at school, there's no first place. There's no competition. Why? Oh, I don't want them to feel bad when they don't win. Well, what they're going to feel like when they go out in the real world and they don't win? Competition for me is massively important, massively important.
So winning is important.
Winning is everything. It really is. And anyone that says
taking part isn't everything.
Taking part's important because you need to learn to lose. Because learning to lose makes you want to win. And that's the reality of it. And that's a winner's mindset. You know, you could have not everyone can be a winner, but it doesn't hurt to want to be a winner. You know, there's an old fashioned saying where you shoot for the stars, and if you achieve something up there, you've done well.
Mm.
Same thing. try and win. Mm. But if you enter a competition where there's no winner, well, you're not going to try.
Yeah.
And if you don't try, what's the point? Like, I'd rather my kids go into competition with placings and come last and have that feeling of losing, because next time they won't want to feel that again, rather than everyone finish the same place, because there's no point going back.
No. No, in a way, if there's equality. I remember watching a golf documentary, and one of the most famous golfers in the world said, you've got to learn how to lose mm-hmm. before you can learn how to win.
Yeah.
And if we're saying everyone's equal and it's just good for taking part, no one learns how to lose.
No. And it's the same as the mindset thing we spoke about briefly. It's, for me, it's really important that you learn good and bad. You learn to win and lose, because that gives you the energy when it really counts. You know, losing is not the be all and end all. It's just it is what it is. Mm. But winning is the be all and end all. So if you can use the lesson that you learn through a loss to drive you forward for a win, that's what it's all about. Mm. You know, if you win, if you were to be world's strongest man, right?
It's a long dream shot. For a minute.
But listen to me, yeah? If you win world's strongest man, I'll twist it around. We've got a mutual friend, Eddie.
Yeah.
How many times, I hope he doesn't watch this. How many times has Eddie lost world's strongest man?
Oh, what? 7 times?
I don't know.
5 times?
I don't
10
know.
Times?
I don't know. How many times has he won?
Once?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
That he's won once?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I think.
Yeah.
I think he's only won once. Yeah,
you're correct.
Yeah.
You remember the win, not the loss.
Yeah. He must have had to have lost since he was 15 years old 100%. To win.
You have to.
Yeah.
Not once in a blue moon does someone win every single game they play. No one remembers your losses. They remember your wins.
Yeah.
It's you know, who won? I don't follow football, but who won the Premier League last year?
Not Liverpool. So I remember.
But if they did, you'd remember
it. And you don't remember their lucky games, their bad games. You remember if they won or lost.
Yeah.
If
it's all about winning.
And most people could remember first. No one will remember second. Yeah. No one will remember 12.
No, because it's not important. It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Second and last place are the same.
What is it they say? Second is the first.
First, last.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And that's my mindset with it all. And it's not easy. It's not an easy mindset to have, because it makes you a very difficult person to be around at times. It can make you very bipolar. Your energy levels could be through the roof, or they could be on the floor, because you want to be the best version of yourself at everything that you do, and it's not possible. Mm. But using that, when I'm at my worst, when I'm at my lowest point, my most depressed, is when I'm at my best point for progression.
Wow, that is a paradox to get your head around, because I was just actually going to ask you, are you trying to be the best, or are you trying to be happy? And what you've said sounds like being happy is really bad for being the best.
Yeah, it is, because you're soft.
And you stop.
Yeah, it's true.
Wow. That's a paradox I don't think many people can get their head around.
No, because they don't. I think the problem is, in today's world, happiness is so, what's the word I'm looking for? False.
Yeah. And it's like it's the outcome of life. Everyone seems at the moment to think that happiness is the outcome of life.
You're supposed
to
be.
But no one does anything when they're happy.
No, you don't. Happiness doesn't drive you forward.
No.
Happiness is completing the game. And then once the game's complete, you've got no purpose.
So happiness is not having happiness so you can chase the happiness. And then once you've got the happiness, there's no happiness anymore.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Happiness leads to depression.
Yeah. Well, actually, one of my mentors said I gave up happiness years ago because it made me so damn depressed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true, because there's no drive.
Why don't people understand this?
That's why I'm miserable all the time.
You laugh a lot, though. You're not that.
Now, I'm not miserable at all, but I have constantly have. It's not black and white, that statement. Having constant goals is what's important to bringing happiness, because it's achieving that where my true happiness comes from. Setting obnoxious goals that people think are ridiculous to achieve, and then achieving it, right. That's happiness.
So does it make you feel good when you set an obnoxious goal and people think you're obnoxious? Be honest, does that like motivate you?
Yeah.
So will you actually share your goals? Because I know some people, they don't want to share their goals. They don't want people to
I shared my goals initially with close friends in this very, very room. Like, you know, this gym used to be a working gym that I took over when I was 21 years old. to 21 years ago.
That was half your life ago.
Yeah, half my life ago, I took over this place and painted it with my hands. It's never looked like this when I first got it. And I remember 8-9 years ago saying to my clients, I want to work in Hollywood. I want to be an actor. Come on. What's anyone going to say to someone who comes out with that, who's never been to drama school, covered in tattoos, 6'6", 6'7", 25 stone. I want to be an actor in Hollywood. Yeah, all right, mate. Got more chance of being a lawyer, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember it like it was yesterday. I came into here. It was 5:45, and one of my older lady clients looked at me, and I'd got this tattoo just put on. And she went, "You've ruined your life. You're never going to get a job now like that." I looked at her and went, "I'll be all right." And then, 8-9 years on, I'm here. So I was right.
Yeah. Well, it's probably good that you couldn't get a normal job.
I never wanted a normal job. From the day I left university, I never wanted to work for anyone else.
Yeah.
I never wanted a normal job. I just can't. I was thinking about this on the way in. I really struggle keeping appointments and times. I'm so all over the place. Mm. Like, you need to work around my schedule or it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Which isn't a great way to be, but it's just the way I am.
Mm. So there's two things we covered earlier I want to come back to. Depression and energy. Let's start with depression. Andrew Tate says depression isn't real. What do you think?
I'd say what people believe in is real. You know, a word is a word, isn't it? It doesn't mean anything. I'd definitely say that people feel good or feel bad, but I think there's a reason to feel good or feel bad. And what would be more interesting to me was, what did we use for the word depression 30, 40 years ago? Because I don't think it was around, the word.
Well, now people, if they have a bad day, it's depression and go to the doctor and get fucking
pills. Yeah, but it's the same as winning and losing. It's the same as not having a winner. It's an easy answer to a problem that's, it's not, it's just masked, in my opinion. Like you said, if someone's had a bad day, it's depression. Well, it's not really. That's not depression.
Everyone has a bad day.
Of course they do. Like I am convinced I was very, well, if not having a breakdown, was very close to having a breakdown, and I nearly ended up in hospital on a drip. I had to see a psychologist about the fact I was about 1% body fat and I couldn't function and I'd lost all appetite for life and wanted to die. That could be classed as depression, I guess.
Was that? Do you think that was driven by the physical or the mental?
Mental, 100%. 100%, I'd lost purpose.
But at 1% body fat, you must have looked ripped.
I looked dead.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely gone. I could probably find a picture and show you. Like, people don't realise the hell I went through.
What was this for?
I just had a breakdown.
Oh. Just so it wasn't training for anything?
No, God, no. It was a legit breakdown. I'd lost my career. I'd lost my granddad. I'd lost a lot of things in a short space of time. I was like 19 years old and I didn't know how to deal with it. So I stopped eating, trained even harder, and just lost weight daily. And then I got myself into a point where I couldn't put weight on. And it was a horrible place to be. Couldn't get off the sofa. I remember going to the library with my mum and collapsed right outside of the charity shop, ironically. Collapsed into the shop. And then I was like, took to the doctors, and he said, if you don't start eating this week, you're going to be on a drip in hospital. I was like, fucking hell. That woke me up. And then all of a sudden it just clicked. I need a goal. I need a purpose. Like, I'd always been so goal obsessed and driven as a kid from the age of 11, 12. My only success in life was being good at something. My only internal feeling of happiness was to be congratulated on how good I was at cricket or how good I was at athletics or running or throwing. Or it was always something I was good at. I always stood out from the crowd. I was a huge kid. I was very powerful. And I was always good at sport, whether that be football, whether it be cricket, whether it be throwing sports, whatever it was. I was always good because I was so much bigger than my age group. And then going from that to not being able to walk properly because I was so depleted of energy and strength, it was just so depressing. And to wake up and to be like a shadow of your former self, that was hard. But it clicked what was wrong. I need to have this again. So I need to be able to set the goal that makes me feel good when I achieve. And that's where my obsession with fitness came. Because that was what I was good at. I could switch off, could zone out, train. And, oh, you're big. God, you put more weight on. I was like, this is good. I was getting that feeling again. But then it got to a point where I was so big, it was like, I think I'm done here.
If you love to travel like me and you understand the power in escaping the money for time exchange trap, but you just don't know how to do it, then building an Airbnb consultancy business could be exactly what you have been looking for. Right now in the UK, there is a completely untapped opportunity through helping struggling Airbnb hosts by turning around their underperforming properties and generating you huge commission payments in the process. We are going to teach you all of the tools and all of the techniques that we've learned over the last 5 years through building our very own multiple six-figure Airbnb business, arming you with everything that you need to swoop in and save the day. Minimal startup costs, zero risk, and almost unlimited potential. Sound good? Welcome to the Airbnb Consultant. Contact us through any of the channels included in the studio notes to get the conversation started.
So
what's
I need
the
to
biggest
learn.
You've ever been?
Jesus,
165 kilo.
I was not healthy.
How many stones is that?
Oh, it's about 26 stone, I believe, 26 something like that.
Stone.
26 stone, yeah. 26.
I guess it was mostly muscle.
I was huge, man. Yeah. It was very, very much muscle, but it was not a good place to be. I was depressed.
How did you get back? Oh, sorry, you.
No, that was
that depressed you.
That was driven from. I know you were not talking. Oh, we're talking is depression real? But that was driven from negative mindset.
What,
being and hating big? Myself. Yeah, hating myself and going to the gym and just going, well, this is my only release.
What did you hate about yourself?
I just felt like I'd failed
right.
from the sports side of things when I was younger. And that was very difficult to get over. Very difficult when you know, you were told you were going to be the best in the country. And then all of a sudden overnight, you're nothing. And going, well, now what am I? I'm not someone that can deal with just being normal. So not having... It wasn't even not being the best at something. It was having nothing that was the problem. I can't even train to be the best. There's nothing right. to train for. I was academically terrible. I was just bored. I just couldn't sit in the classroom. Terrible. Because I had no interest in it at all. I'd read a book, half page in, fall asleep. Yeah, I can train for 4 hours. You know, so for me, it was, I knew where my strengths were, my weaknesses were, but not to have any output was horrendous.
Wow, so when you're 26 stone, how does it affect your body? I mean, you know, when Eddie was big, he said it's trouble breathing.
I never had that, thank God.
Yeah, it must have been really hard.
It was hard though, yeah, it was hard because, well, it was hard because I had no life, because my whole life was eating and training and sleeping and eating and training and sleeping. And it was like you said, oh, you switch on, how do you switch off? I couldn't switch off. So I took that anger from the gym out of the gym. And being 26 stone with anger is a bad place to be.
So maybe your maturity now is you can turn it off as quick as you can turn it on.
100%, I can control it more.
But you couldn't before.
No, because I had no outlet.
There must be a lot of people though in the strength world, they can't control
their anger. I think a high percentage of people within the fitness industry, especially the strength world, have massive issues.
What are they?
I don't know what their personal issues
are,
but the thing is, well, what I said to you earlier, find your trigger. What upset you when you were younger? That doesn't disappear. That molds you who you are as an adult. You can learn to deal with it, but it doesn't disappear. The memory never disappears. That memory of emotion never disappears. There's always a trigger. And that trigger can come back. If you just close your eyes and think of that trigger, you could break down.
Yeah.
Fuck me, that really hurt me. That did. That really upset me. That was the worst thing that ever happened to me. I need to release it. I need to feel like a different person. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to look like this. I'm going to feel like this. And because I see these magazines and pictures of these guys that are always smiling and have all this attention, I want to be that person because I don't want to be me.
Wow. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And all of a sudden you're looking at them going, you get there and you go, I'm still miserable.
But that motivates you to be better.
100%. And then as you mature, you realize that 11-year-old boy was actually fucking wonderful.
Mm.
You just didn't allow him to grow. But if you never went through that, you wouldn't have been allowed to grow. So your worst memory is your best blessing. That's how you approach depression.
Wow. Yeah. I remember seeing my therapist and she said, because she always wants to bring out the young Rob.
Mm.
And I always get triggered when she does that. And she said, if the 11-year-old Rob was sat there, what would you say to him? And I said, well, I'd just be really embarrassed. And she was shocked. So are you saying you've learned to love that more shameful, painful, younger version of you? Have you managed to do that? Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say I was ashamed. I was angry as a kid. Like, right. I was a very angry child because I was picked on, but not in the way of being bullied, just because I was always so big. I always had older kids trying to push me around. And for me, I just had enough of it, you know, and that really, really sort of got to me. It was just the frustration of always being, I'm not an aggressive person, but when you keep getting pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, all of a sudden you just want to snap. So I had that going through. I think if I was to go back and see the younger me, I'd be proud of how hard I tried. And even though I wasn't necessarily great at things, I tried so hard. And I see that in my daughter, and it brought a bit of emotion to me when she had this dance last night and she was fantastic. And she'd done the whole choreograph herself. She'd practiced herself. She's only 11 years old, and it was perfect. And I saw her every night practicing. And she's got two left feet, you know, but she's worked so hard. And she looked great. Their group was the best group. And I saw me in her because I was never the best, but I would try harder than anyone else. And then it was the same thing. And it's that for me is what I'd be, if I was to go back, I'd just say, just keep working because you're going to be fucking great. Yeah. Don't worry what anyone else says. Just keep that mindset and you'll be fine. But I think, you know, you've got to go through hard times, you've got to go through a loss to learn how to win. It's the same with you. If you never went, if your life was easy as an 11-year-old, you'd probably not have half of what you have now. And I would prefer to go through hard times as a kid so I could develop into a strong adult and enjoy life. Because how long are you a kid for? Not long in retrospect.
Yeah, people who've had an easy childhood are kids until they're 65.
That's what I'm saying.
Those people.
Yeah, but then they're never. You need to learn to let go, because what's given you success is the energy from that event. Capture that energy, but allow yourself to congratulate yourself for achieving what you got. That's where I'm at. It's like, that was horrendous and it was horrible. And that time in my life, I hate. But if I didn't experience that, I wouldn't have my superpower today.
So do you intentionally find hard shit and just go straight to it? Or do you still sometimes try and avoid it?
No, go straight to it with confidence, because it can't touch me. And that's what keeps me focused.
How can people do that? Because I think a lot of people are avoiding all the hard things. In reality, on the other side of the hard things is the good life.
Yeah.
So how can people face things, their demons, the stuff that they find really hard, whether it's conflict or having to fire someone or getting in shape when they know they want to? How can they just face the hard? Because it's hard.
Go left to everyone's right. Stop being a pussy. It sounds brutal, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
Sounds brutal, but it's the truth. And it's the truth why not everyone will find happiness or success, because they're too scared. Face it. Once you've tasted complete failure and you've tasted how shit the floor tastes, nothing else can scare you. I've nearly died twice without being dramatic. I've lost everything. I've ended up being fucking homeless and broke. Nothing can be worse than that. I use that memory. I do not want to taste that again. And I know if I don't do this now, I could potentially start going backwards. That's never happening.
But so with your kids, are you trying? Because I have the sort of difficult position where my kids have got everything they want, and I sometimes think, spoiled little fucker, and then I remember that I'm raising them, and it's not their fault.
No,
it's my fault.
I'm exactly the same boat.
So are you trying to?
I get angry with myself.
Yeah. So you're trying to. So you're aware that you could be giving them privilege. Are you trying to challenge them and make things hard? But are you having struggles with your wife? Because my wife just wants to love them and protect them.
Yeah.
And I think that's what mums are supposed to do. Yeah. And I'm like, these guys need some failure.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with everything you're saying. Like, it's difficult because I've got a 3-year-old, a 6-year-old, an 11-year-old, and all of a sudden daddy's changing with the rules and they can't stand it. But they're having to, not so much the 3 and 6-year-old, but the eldest one's having to earn her money now. And she, I mean, she cleaned my car last week, which for her was a big thing. She cleaned the inside of my car and she got her pocket money.
Yeah.
And I need her to understand that money just doesn't get given to her, because at the moment she doesn't get that.
And that's not her fault.
No, it's not. No. It's my fault completely, especially yeah. as you know, I go away for 3-4 months, come back, I just want to spoil them because I feel guilt that I've not been there. Not so much guilt, just miss them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the thing is...
You're very self-aware of those emotions. A lot of people aren't.
No, I am massively, and I'm trying to still give them everything, but because they've earned it.
Yeah. Give them the chance to...
Yeah. I've had a good sit down and speak to her, and I've said to her, look, just because you're not going to get it. And she, the last couple of months, she hasn't got what she wants. And it has caused some arguments and whatnot. But then I sit there and explain it to her and I say, look at your friends. Look what they get. Look what you get. And then tell me that it's not fair. Now, if you want this, I want you to want it. That is fine. I have no issue with kids wanting the whole lot. But you're going to earn it. Learn how to earn that and you can have it. Mm-hmm. Learn how to earn money. I also try to almost pay them to do homework, and that sounds really bad, but I am happy if she wants to spend an extra hour reading or doing something. I'll reward her financially for that.
So you're not paying her to do homework, you're rewarding her for pushing extra. Herself through challenges.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah,
because that's life.
That is life.
Life, you get rewarded for doing something. Yeah.
You don't
progressive,
you don't get given anything unless you're on benefits.
100%.
So if you raise entitled children, you're teaching them that the way they get money is to be on benefits,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, 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 100%. And my thing is, I don't mind them having things. I don't mind them being spoiled, but that spoiled has to come from them spoiling themselves.
But you can't
reward.
Be spoiled rewarding yourself for something you worked hard for.
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends what you look at it as. But yeah, 100%. Like, you know, some people say, I don't know what car you've got at the moment, but you've got
7 of them.
You've got that you're spoiled. No, I worked bloody hard.
No one bought them for me. So that's not spoiled,
no,
is it?
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In some people's minds, you're spoiled.
Yeah, but that's because they don't know what I did.
That's what I'm saying. 100%. I have no issue. I have no issue of you having 6, 7, 10, 20 cars, whatever. If you've earned them, that's your right to buy them. You've earned that.
Yeah.
And I don't mind my kids having things if they've earned it. I mind them having things that are given to them and they don't understand the hardship and value that goes behind it.
Yeah.
That's my issue.
Mm. So what's the biggest BS in the world of fitness and strength?
All of it.
The whole thing.
That's right.
The biggest.
My biggest problem is that people keep trying to rewrite the book. Fitness is not rocket science. Come on, we're not trying to produce bloody takeaway elite athletes. And then you look at the fitness community and you've just got, people just want to be healthy. It's not rocket science, you know? It's not rocket science. Learn good form and then follow basic programs. Eat well. And that's it. But because people are constantly trying to make extra money, constantly trying to sell the dream to people, they come up with all these new methods of doing X, Y, and Z. Train hard, eat clean, enjoy life, be consistent. That's the secret. But it doesn't sell as well.
Mm.
Training hard doesn't sell well. So like I work with a few clients because I fucking genuinely love working with people. Right? You see it, my passion.
Mm.
So I've got maybe 11, 12 people that I work with still. Keep it quiet, but still work with just because I enjoy doing it.
Mm.
They are not following anything that's rocket science. They are just around me so they see and feel my energy and mindset. That gets them their results.
Do you think the world's changing a bit now where people
a bit.
Are people like, yeah, a lot. We did talk about billion years last 30. God. But I hear you. Because I've been in the... sort of, I suppose, wealth creation space for nearly 2 decades. And I've seen so much bullshit over the time. And yeah, the fundamentals work. But it used to be sold on passive income, be lazy, make millions. But now people are getting it. And they're saying, work fucking hard, outwork everyone else. And I sort of feel like maybe some of the fundamentals are coming back.
Yeah.
Are you seeing that a bit?
In fitness?
Not? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really watch it. Right. I don't have time to watch it. No. In all honesty, I don't have time to watch someone else training.
No.
I know how to train.
Yeah.
I don't need to watch someone else do it.
Yeah.
What
about in people's attitude? You're still training people? Do they want to come and work hard? Or
no,
they...
I don't train. I train with people. Yeah. I don't train people.
No.
What I do with a few people is some stuff online just for fun.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's weird. You build a relationship with them. So you kind of, especially how I live my life, it keeps me busy, which is quite cool.
Yeah.
But actually training people, it's very difficult to find someone that trains with my energy.
Yeah.
very difficult. We spoke about this earlier. I think there's very few people that could train me. And that's, when I do get that, I definitely enjoy it.
Is there anyone you know could train you? Anyone out there you think, wow.
I don't mean this on a knowledge point either. I just mean it on a physical air, like a...
Getting you to the next level.
Yeah, like getting in my face and understanding my triggers and getting me to push hard. There's not many people I've trained with in the past, even professionals like that have managed to switch me on in that way. I think because I'm kind of different from a lot of people.
And is that because they haven't got the skills or just they don't know you well enough?
No, not neither or, just a fusion of energy, really. I am very highly driven and need someone that can go a little bit crazy. And I think I can be intimidating when I train.
Yeah.
So I think finding someone who has no issue with being intimidated and being able to stand up to it. Maybe like a military type person.
Yeah.
Yeah, in all honesty.
Is it normal that my fucking body's shaking now? We've just finished our session and it's just started.
Absolutely. It's because you normally train like an 11-year-old.
Can you edit that bit out, David? Yeah. You talked about energy earlier, and talk about energy and people's energy and what kind of energy you don't like and what kind of energy you do like. And why is energy so important to you?
I think energy is the driver to life. And for me, being around like-minded people and ambitious people is key. Absolutely key. And I think negative people drain you. Like, absolutely destroy you. Oh, honestly, like, it's a big problem. It's a very big problem. And I think when you go through life and you get older, you realize it more and more, but sometimes it can become difficult to get out of that situation. So you need to learn to deal with it. But I do think energy of individuals is definitely transferable. 100%. Like when I get around people, especially on a film set, actually, when you're around, what's the word I'd use for actors? Artistic energy. You can guarantee you're always going to have fun because they're just big kids that enjoy life and they're living the dream and they appreciate, I wouldn't say they appreciate what they get. Sometimes some of them can be a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for?
Diva?
Not so much diva, just naive to reality.
Right.
You know, especially actors that have been doing it from a young age and don't really understand real life. You know, I used to work £7-8 an hour. I understand how hard life is.
Yeah.
And I got into acting a lot later on, but child actors that go from, earning a couple of hundred thousand pounds at the age of 7 or 8.
Yeah.
They don't quite get what it's like to work for money, but the energy around them, the joy for life, the energy for life, and the optimism, that's a fantastic energy to be around. Optimism and ambition is a brilliant combination for me. I like being around that.
Yeah. And are you ruthless if people bring shit energy to you, i.e. you don't want any of it?
Yeah, I really try to be. I really, really do try to be. Like, now I'm very careful who I allow into my circle. And if there's any negativity, it's shut off straight away. Like, I'll block your phone number, I'll block you on Instagram. I just don't want to be around it at all. And that doesn't mean that they're horrible people. It just means that, oh my God, I know I'm in for a miserable conversation here.
Right.
You know, everyone knows someone. You find them, you're right. Well, this today and that. Oh my God. I just wanted a yes. I don't want to hear. I am not here to listen to your shit. It was just more me being polite. It wasn't a genuine question. because for me, like, if I'm not all right, there's a certain few people I'll speak to, but they owe me that time to be that person. I don't think you should. And I know this is a really weird thing to say because we're all like, you speak to someone, speak out. I think there should be there's certain people, in my opinion, that you give enough to that they should be there for you when you need to speak to them. But that's not everyone, because just because you're feeling crap doesn't mean you should put it on everyone else.
Yeah.
Do you know? And I know that goes against what everyone's saying about depression and speaking out and this and mental health. I'm a massive advocate of talking to people, but talk to the right people. I have time for a small handful of people because they will have time for me. But I don't have time for everyone.
Yeah, because I sometimes think there's this little thing about life that I think about a lot, and that is how you greet people. Because part of me thinks, always tell everyone you're great and bring great energy. And then part of me thinks, be honest. So what I started to do for a while is I used to give it a score out of 10. How are you, Rob? Oh, I'm 8.7.
Yeah.
I'm 7.2. Yeah. Just for a bit of fun.
It's Rob, I just want a fucking yes.
So basically, so in reality, none of us actually give a fuck how anyone else is. I mean, I do care how you are, yeah.
But unless what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I do actually
care. Outside of your circle.
Yeah.
Outside of your circle, be very honest.
Yeah.
If someone came up to you and the fact, I'm not talking about they're about to kill them. I'm just talking about they just feel crap.
Yeah.
I've had a really bad day. What's happened? Oh, I messed up at work and this. I just feel rubbish. I feel fat. I feel this. Do you want to go out for some food?
Well, I'm too fucking busy anyway.
Thank you.
Because
don't give a fuck. Are you choosing work over a person?
I choose work over people all the time. Because that's my mission.
Thank you. Yeah, but that's not the answer. The answer is yes or no, black and white.
Well, life isn't black and white. It might be.
The answer is.
There's context to everything. Okay. So now,
outside of your circle.
You should be an interviewer.
Outside of your circle.
All right. Okay. I'm going to give you context. Mm-hmm. If I genuinely thought that person was really struggling.
Yeah, and I said that.
Then I would stop.
This is just someone that moans constantly.
Oh, no. Get the fuck out.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's because most of them don't.
They don't help themselves.
Yeah, exactly. If they came to me and they're moaning, but they're like, Rob, I want to change. I'm just struggling.
That's different.
I'm going to give them time.
Yeah.
Because I mentor a lot of people who are like that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but if they're like fucking bathing my pity party, my bubble bath of misery fuck off.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying be dismissive of your closest friends.
No.
I'm saying.
But the point is there is a few nuances of context here.
100, to a degree. But my general rule, like I said before, I'm black and white. I have a big heart, but I also believe you start by helping yourself. Charity begins at home. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Charity genuinely, and I don't mean that in giving money. I believe if you don't help yourself, don't expect someone else to help you.
And how can you help anyone else if you can't even help yourself? You can't.
Put your mask on first before you do anyone else.
Yeah.
It's not the sound of the airplane.
Yeah.
but for me, I just think, again, the world we live in, it's kind of, you're made to feel bad by speaking honest.
Mm.
It's like, no, you shouldn't say that. I'm like, well, the truth.
Yeah, I mean, you just said the word pussy, and so many people are going to get triggered by that. Why? You can't even say that anymore.
Oh, I didn't even know.
No, and you don't even care. But no, I agree.
I don't go out to offend people. Don't get me wrong.
No.
But
you can be, what's wrong with honesty?
I don't think you should have to tread on water 24/7. It's like, if you don't like something on TV, turn the channel.
Yeah.
I'm not telling people to go out and kill each other, but I'm just saying very honestly, it's like, you have to wake up. I have been in some horrendous situations. And believe me, apart from my mum and dad, no one else was there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality.
But that's when you know who really cares about you.
Of course. I looking at that one book, actually, but when about 6 years ago, my stomach, I had a big issue and I nearly died.
What happened?
I had a blockage in my stomach. It was from an operation I had when I was a child. So it was wasn't caused by anything. It was just one of those bad luck things. And I remember lying there in hospital. Mom, there's dad. There's my wife and kids. Where's everyone else?
Mm.
And then I had two friends that came to visit me in hospital. That was it. And to me, it was like, okay, you two, they're friends for life. That to me really resonated on the importance of understanding your circle, understanding your time. And I will give whatever you're prepared to give to me. I was dying in the hostel. And you sent me a text.
Mm.
It's fine. I'll send you a text. And I'll visit my kids. And I'll spend that extra time with my kids or my wife or my mum or my dad. And that's where my time is. Mm. Because I've only got so much time. I've only got so much time to give. I haven't got 2.5 hours, 3 hours to talk about you feeling bad because you don't do X, Y, and Z and you haven't got this. I don't want you to feel like that. But I'd rather spend time with my kids, mate.
Mm.
Go and find that person that's there at hospital when you're dying. Mm. Go and speak to them.
Wow.
That's the reality to me.
Yeah.
And it sounds brutal, but that's my reality. Is I've been through situations where I've needed people, and there's one or two people that have come and helped me, and those are the one or two people that I would walk off a film set for if they needed me tomorrow, and jeopardize my career because they would have done the same for me. Not many people do that.
No. Something really stick in my mind, completely change of subject here, is I think you could smash the world of influencer fighting. I just if I was your manager, I'd be like getting 20% on you. You've got to go in and take on all these guys. You could make tens of millions.
Yeah.
Does that interest? Because I know it nearly happened, didn't it?
It nearly did. Me and my agent have had a very long discussion about this. Now, financially, yes. The problem is I don't want to damage my career as an actor.
But would it though?
Well, potentially. Because I think the problem is, there's a couple of reasons for that. You put your name down for a fight, you're training for a fight, which is 6 months. So you stop work. You get injured in the fight, you can't do a job.
Yeah.
So I can't sign for a film if I've got to sign for a fight because they won't insure you.
Yeah.
Right. So that automatically puts 6 to 8 months of my life on hold.
Yeah.
Now I did it before and it all got pulled. So I lost 6 months of
and
work.
And you train?
Oh yeah, ridiculously.
Hardcore.
It wasn't even about the training. It was the financial loss and the loss of opportunity within the film. Mm. Now my career acting is going like this.
Yeah.
And I love that. But the problem is you're either seen as an actor or you're seen as an influencer or a YouTuber. Not a problem, but I want to be an actor.
Right.
There's not many people that make that crossover between YouTuber and a respected actor. There is WWE and acting, but that's the nearest there is.
Yeah.
I think that world of influencer fighting and YouTube, it's a great one for them to make the money, but I don't know if it's my next career move, to be honest. Mm. And I don't know who to fight. Who is there to fight? There's not of a level that makes sense for me.
Yeah.
Who would you put me against? You've got to match size, you've got to match ability, and you've got to match level of career, because you want someone that's going to bring money to the table.
Mm.
So someone that's either working within film or in TV or music, someone who's my weight, with my experience. We're not fighting pros, we're just fighting people who enjoy training.
Yeah.
Who are you going to put me against?
Mm.
Because I'd smash most of them.
Yeah.
But then put me against a pro, I'm never going to be a pro. Come on, I'm 41 years old and I'm an actor.
Yeah.
I love fitness, don't get me wrong, but I'm not a professional fighter.
Mm.
But I can fight. So where would you pitch me?
Yeah.
Who would I fight?
Yeah, I don't know.
It'd be bloody impossible. We have thought about it, and it's like, well, I could fight someone.
Could you fight Eddie?
Eddie Hall.
Yeah.
That could be a fight.
Yeah.
But then it's a difficult one for me to get up for, because he's one of my best mates.
Yeah.
And I know Eddie as well, and like, it would damage our friendship.
Yeah.
Because I would not want to lose, and Eddie would not want to lose, and he can't do a fixed fight because a fixed fight looks it's a difficult fight.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want to fight Eddie. I wouldn't want to go into a fight and not smash someone.
And you want
to
smash?
I'd love to fight Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could get angry with Thor.
Yeah.
You don't like him.
I don't know him.
No.
No, I don't.
You don't not like him. I don't know him.
Dislike him. I don't like him. I know Eddie hates him. But I don't know him. So that for me, I mean, could do.
He's a big guy.
Yeah. He's a big guy, man.
Yeah.
That's not a problem.
Is he a lot bigger than you?
I think he's weight wise. I don't think he's like a massive.
I mean,
bigger.
In heavyweight, it's like and above, isn't it? And
I'd be more than happy to take on that.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
So if everything was. All the ducks were in a row, you'd think
I don't
about
think
that.
Thor would fight me, though.
No?
No, I don't think he wants to go back into that world.
No.
And again, for me, it'd have to make financial sense. Like, it would have to make sense of taking time off.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine if people got behind that, it would make financial sense,
I'd box for MMA. I'd rather do MMA with him, I would.
Yeah.
I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd
do it. So what's your number to do it? How much?
He'd have to make some serious money, just because of how much I'm making on my career at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's time off. I don't need an influencer fight to be world champion, because people are still going to disregard, oh, it's just Thor. It's like, yeah,
no, it's not just Thor though, is it? He's a massive guy.
Yeah, he is, but
and
it's
your own
not,
battle. Who gives a fuck what anyone
says? But what I'm saying is there's no pride in that.
What, in beating him?
Nah, there's no pride in that. There's no pride in that.
Why not?
Because no one's... Look, do you think there's any pride in Mike Tyson and Jake Paul?
It depends if it's Mike Tyson and Jake Paul.
Financially, phenomenal for them both.
Yeah,
right? Great.
Well, I mean, if you're Mike Tyson with his financial history, makes a lot of sense to do
I'm not saying it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I'm saying pride.
Well, pride, more for Jake Paul than Mike Tyson.
But why?
Well, Jake Paul can't lose, because if he wins, he wins. And if he loses, well, it was Mike Tyson.
I know, but...
So it's a better reputational fight for Jake Paul, isn't it?
Not really.
Mike Tyson, if he loses to Jake Paul, I mean, that's... I know he's older, but... they're not going to probably fight either.
No, they're not going to. That's what I mean. Where's the pride in that?
But you're going to probably fight.
I'd love to properly fight him, but there's no. He's. I don't mean this disrespectfully to him. He's no one to beat for me to achieve anything. So it's got to be a financial reward.
And what's nothing wrong with that, though, is there?
No, I'm not saying there is. That's what I'm saying. If the money's right, I'd do it. But if the money's not right, there's no sense in doing it. There's no point. What's the point?
But
it's just a payday.
Yeah, but. If it's a big payday, it's a lot you can do with money.
I will fight him for a payday.
Yeah.
100%. Not because I don't think I'd win, but because there's no point taking time out of my diary to fight him unless I'm going to get paid. Because no one's going to turn around and go, oh yeah, you're an incredible fighter you beat before. Come on.
No, but everyone knows you're not trying to be an incredible fighter.
No, I just want to make money.
Yeah. And by the way, what's wrong with that?
Nothing at all.
Because a lot of people think there is. It is like.
What really makes me laugh is people criticize these fights. Oh my God, I can't believe he's doing that. Bum, bum, bum. Mate, you work for 25 grand a year.
Yeah, I'd fight Mike Tyson for 10 million pounds. I'd be down in the first
telling,
and I'd fight
you're
him.
Telling, and there's nothing wrong with working for 25,000, but what I'm saying is, you're telling me if someone offers you £500,000 for a fight, you're going to say no. Of course you're not. Why do you think these guys are taking it? Because they want to get paid.
Yeah.
They're not doing it for any other reason apart from making money. So I've got no issue with it at all. It just has to make sense. Has to make sense. And the money at the moment that was floating around doesn't make sense to me. I think I've kind of gone past where that is.
Yeah.
But if it comes and the money's there, yeah, 100%. And I think he would be probably one of the only ones that would make sense to fight purely because of his size and his history. He's done a few. He can stand up.
Yeah.
I won't say it was good, but he can stand up.
Yeah.
But then maybe MMA would be an interesting one to do with him.
Mm.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Would you keep it on the feet? Would you try and get him on the ground?
I don't know. I don't know.
How do you get him on the ground?
It's not that
Take
big.
His legs
he's
out.
He's not that big. I mean, he's big, but he's not that big.
Lots of leg kicks. Just get him, wipe him out with his legs.
I'd be confident. I'd be really confident. Yeah. Like I'd make it fun. It would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Because you know that zone I was on.
I'd pay for a front row seat for that.
You know me, and I would train well for that, and I would make that enjoyable to watch.
Yeah,
like it'd be a naughty fight.
Because this is what this pisses me off a bit about Jake Paul. I am not a hater about anyone.
No, I know,
and I respect his story and his journey.
Yeah, I think he's a phenomenal businessman.
Completely agree. So, however, he and his opponents, I think, should have put more into the fights and not just keep hugging each other. I mean, Tom, you know, I know Tommy, and Tommy was a bit cagey. I know he had a lot to lose, but they could have put on more of a show for us.
Because
they are entertainers, aren't they?
Yeah, I haven't watched any of them. And to me, it's like, just from an outsider, is it a real fight or is it entertainment?
Well, no, but Martin, you haven't watched any of them because no one said, you've got to fucking watch this because it was so good. And if they had one fight and it was so fucking good, then you'd watch the next one.
Yeah, that's kind of where, for me, like I was saying with the pride, I want to go in and I'd rather just roll the dice and just go for a big swing and just have a scrap.
Make it entertaining.
I'd rather have a scrap than a fight. I don't want to win on points. I want to knock him out.
Well, they're the exciting ones, aren't they?
Of course they are. Stand in the middle and let's just go at it.
Yeah. You're going to get paid whatever. 100%. If you get knocked out, you won't even know what the fuck happened.
Yeah, let's just swing and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, the more blood, the better.
Because that's what people want to see.
100%. That's exactly what they want to see. Like
they're all hugging each other all the time.
Yeah, no, I'm not up to that. I don't. I respect the skill in jiu-jitsu, but I wouldn't go and watch it.
Yeah.
Because it's something. It's the same as I respect a lot of sports. I wouldn't watch them. No. I'd take part in them because I'd enjoy to do it, but I wouldn't watch someone else doing it. It's like these YouTube channels that I've stopped my kids watching of kids playing with toys. I'm like, why do you want to watch someone play with a toy? Go and play with your own toy. You watch it, so you stupid idiot. It's like, you know, you look at your own kids, you go,
or you want to be failed
at life, man.
Or you want to be the YouTuber playing with the toys, making millions.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Why are you watching someone else do what you should be doing? You know, when you were little, and like, when PlayStations first came out, and we had one controller and seven people around it watching it. So you're the person waiting for your friend to finish, and you enjoy it.
Yeah, it's
a weird place, but yeah.
A lot of people are living their life vicariously through the experience of others.
Yeah, it's sad.
Whereas I want to be the creator. I don't want to be watching and scrolling and swiping. I want to be, like, I'm in the gym with you. We did a workout.
Yeah. Of course. It's good. And that's the scary thing about how life's going with technology.
Mm.
It's like experience real life through a phone. Or
AI experience or real VR. Life.
Yeah, look,
it's not real life.
No, they drive me insane.
Yeah.
So put these on and be in Barbados, or get on a plane and be in Barbados. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to sit there in my lounge and pretend I'm in Barbados. It doesn't make no sense.
No, because the people that are really getting the experience are the people that are selling you the fucking glasses, like Mark Zuckerberg.
Well, yeah, because they're making the billions to go and enjoy what Barbados is really like. Oh, yeah, you could sit there all day going, there's some things about the future and where we are now, which is fantastic. There's some things that you're like, why don't we just go back 40 years? And
because that might be progress to go backwards.
100%, yeah. It would be, which is really sad to look at. Mm. Like we were talking about training, when you go past your peak, it's very hard to get motivated for tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I there's so many things I look back on, and I'm sure our parents are the same. They go, "Oh, it was better when we were kids."
Yeah.
But I genuinely feel
things like when you could leave your car and your house unlocked.
Yeah.
You have to worry about that, and you can play in the village when it went dark.
I think that's the biggest one for me, is just kids being kids and being outside and not being obsessed and glued to technology.
Oh, man.
It's the worst thing.
It is the worst. My son's a great boy, but he turns into some different beast when he's on that bloody computer all the time.
Yeah. And he isolates them.
Yeah.
It's hard.
All right, couple of quick ones then. So, honestly, would you review my workout? So, thank you for inviting me to your gym and training. Really enjoyed it. It was a fun experience. I was a bit nervous, but give me a rating. How do you think I did?
Oh, God, is this that rating thing again?
I don't watch other people's shows.
I ain't got time.
I don't watch other people's shows.
I thought you did well. I thought you did great. I didn't expect any less. I knew that you wouldn't want to let yourself down. I know you wouldn't want to give up. I know you enjoy training anyway. So there was no surprise. You were everything I expected you to be. Otherwise, I wouldn't have asked you to come down. Mm. Simple as that. I think training is very representative of life.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a hungry, ambitious person outside of the gym, you're hungry and ambitious inside of the gym. Mm. I definitely believe that.
Couple of tips for me to leave here then to work on. You know, if I want to get a bit stronger.
Food.
Yeah.
Energy, recovery, preparation. The reason you're shaking like an addict coming off is because you're not prepared.
Well, I haven't eaten anything since we finished. And there you are. Yeah, I don't really. Eating's like way down on my priority.
Yeah.
No, I've got to fix that.
100%. Yeah, because your fuel is what drives you forward.
Right.
Try and get into that mindset.
Yeah. This is the biggest takeaway from me here is I know I can lock into that mindset when I'm in the world of business. Yeah. I've got to do what I've got to do.
Attack and approach.
You've taught me in the gym how to lock in other areas of my life.
Be progressive.
Yeah.
The biggest advice I can give you is to be progressive. You won't become stronger unless you challenge yourself more.
Yeah.
A lot of people go into the gym and just go through the motions. You go through the motions, you're going to get nowhere.
Yeah.
You have to track. You have to understand. You have to have a purpose and a goal.
Mm.
You're never going to become... If your goal is to add muscle, you won't become stronger and you won't achieve hypertrophy, which is muscle growth, by always asking the body to do the same thing. If you always go into the gym, and lots of people do this, and they're like, I know I can do 20 kilos on a bench, so I'm going to warm up on 10 and I'm going to do 20. That's great. What are you going to do next week? Well, I'm going to warm up on 10, I'm going to do 20. Well, okay, what about in 6 months' time? I'm going to warm up on 10 and I'm going to do 20.
Mm.
Well, how's your body going to respond? Because the body won't grow because it doesn't need to.
Mm.
Your body will only do what it needs to do.
Yeah.
It won't change. If you track your weight and track your reps and your rest and your recovery. And you go in and you know that, right, last week I did 20 kilos, so this week I'm going to do 22. I might only get 8 reps instead of 10, but I'm going to do 22 kilos until I get 10 reps.
Yeah.
And then the following week, I'm going to do 25 kilo. I mean, it's not as easy as that. There are ways that you will hit walls and you can work around plateau, but that's the basics, is to make sure that each session or each period of each phase is progressive. Mm. You know, there will become limits. You won't always be able to get stronger, but it doesn't mean that you can't get better.
Yeah.
Switch the exercises, switch the repetition range, switch the ways to do advanced training. So you might do drop sets, you might do forced reps. Just constantly challenge the body, but understand where that progression lies. Because if you're not progressive, you won't move forward. And that's true of anything in life. If you don't have an end goal, how can you achieve it?
A couple of quick fires before we go. Number one, in fairly succinct answer, how can you motivate yourself?
For me personally?
Yeah.
Goals. That's my biggest motivation.
Do you keep setting them all the time? Do you set them every year? Do you set them
every month there'll be something. But I am very 100% on nothing. Like I struggle to concentrate on more than one thing at once. So I need to make sure what I do concentrate on, I absolutely smash. So now it's just learning my character, learning my lines. And I'm the happiest that you'll ever find me, because I have a purpose. As soon as I lose that purpose, I'm terrible. Like, I'll be snappy, I can be aggressive, I can be moody, I can be stroppy, I can be... Because I'm searching. I need to find it. And that's the time. If I never had work on, that's the time you go, do you want to do an influencer fight? Yes, I do. Because I need to throw myself into swing now.
Yeah.
And within a week, I'll be on a plane going training with professionals. What are you doing? You're only fighting. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know, but I'm going to smash him.
Mm.
And if I'm training with the world's best, I know I'll be able to fight him.
Yeah.
That's just my mindset.
Yeah. And then if anyone's really struggling and falling into depression, how do you pull yourself out of it?
What we just spoke about.
Do you want to give us that?
Purpose.
Yeah. Wow, so it's the same thing.
Exactly the same.
Motivate yourself, purpose. Out of depression, purpose.
100%.
So everything's purpose.
Well, yeah. I don't understand why people don't get that. I really don't understand why it's such a hard thing to grasp. Everything in life, when you go through the whole of humanity, is driven by purpose.
Well, no one ever commits suicide when they have a strong purpose, do they? I don't think anyone's ever done that.
I just don't understand why all of a sudden over the last 15, 20 years, it's become so difficult to understand how to live life. And that's what's really sad.
Mm.
And I think life has become so confusing for people. They just don't understand it. It's very fucking simple. It's what we started on in the first place, is having winners and losers and not wanting to lose. So working harder so you can become a winner. But knowing that it doesn't matter that you've lost. Losing is good. Use that energy to win. Now go away, brush yourself off and come back. But now if you say that to people, you're offensive.
That was a brilliant short, by the way. that's great. Final question then. Tell us about where you're going with your acting, because I know there's some stuff you can't talk about, but tell us what you can and where's your ultimate goal in your acting career?
So the acting's going phenomenal at the moment. You know, we have three projects coming out this year. We just got back from Australia filming Mortal Kombat. Play Shao Kahn, which was schoolboy dream come true. You know, it was a sporting lead role. It was a phenomenal role. The best baddie in the whole franchise, one of the biggest franchises in the world. And to get that opportunity is mind-blowing, you know. This is someone that's never studied acting in his life and decided to become an actor 8 years ago, and now I'm working on some of the biggest projects there is. So I like to think I'm an advocate of my own advice. Set goals, set big goals, and refuse to listen to anyone that tells you can't achieve them. We have another project coming up, which...
Can you give us a clue on any of them?
Not really. I honestly got signed like last week.
Mm.
The studios will announce it. It's a great project. It's a phenomenal project. It's probably even bigger than Mortal Kombat for me.
Wow.
Which is great. I'm in training for it now. Same mindset, understand the character, become the character, get on top of the dialogue, understand the accent, work that, the physical aspects of it. And that excites me so much because it allows me to grow as an individual. Mm. Gives you confidence, gives you a purpose, gives you a meaning. And that's what life is about. It's what we spoke about earlier. It's about having having constant goals gives you a reason to wake up. You don't have a reason to. That's why billionaires that aren't current, as in still working, get so depressed. I mean, you've got all the money in the world, yeah, but what's the point? I'm bored spending. There's no joy in spending. There's only so much you can use. I mean, only idiots have seven cars. Well, here we go. What gives you a bigger smile and the biggest satisfaction? Making the money or buying the car? The success from achieving or the product? Because for me, I would work any film for free, which the biggest argument me and my agent have. Sign for the film now. No way. We need to negotiate. We need to just sign. I don't want to lose it. I don't care about the money. You need to care about the money. I don't care about the money. I just want to work. I just want to work. And he hates me for it because I just want to work. Because my passion is in the energy that I get from achieving my dream, not using the byproduct, the money, to buy stuff. That doesn't give me any satisfaction at all. I feel proud that I can give stuff to my kids and I can provide for my kids and I can give them a house and stability and I can give them experiences. But that's a different feeling from the actual, I did that. Mm. It's just buying something. Anyone can buy anything if you've got cash.
Yeah. Well, every one of my cars has some kind of meaning to me. Mm-hmm. So the Ferrari Testarossa was my dream car as a kid. The Porsche 911 Turbo with the whale tail was inspired by Bad Boys. The Lamborghini Aventador was just, for me, the dream car end of. So I tend to look at a car and...
What about the Fiesta?
You mean with the big exhaust on it and lowered?
The one he came in today. Before Ali G had turned up.
I don't know if I want to end on that, though. I think I'm towards the end. All right, I'll end on this.
Go on.
Fuck you. And that is, what's your dream role? Is there a dream role, a dream character or a dream part? Maybe we can manifest it here.
A dream role for me would be something that I could really throw myself into emotionally. I can't, not in like a tearjerker, but something that has depth with the character. An action thriller type thing. But to be seen as someone who can actually act and the opportunity to put that across is my dream. I'm not saying it's there now, but that's my end goal now, is to keep working on myself as an actor and keep developing as an actor and try to see progression through my career. And that's something that I find excites me more than anything, is that I'm 41 years old and I'm at the start of my career.
Yeah.
Not many people can say that.
No.
And it's a good career as well.
Yeah. All right, Martin, it's been great.
Thank you, buddy. Pleasure.